All right. Good evening, High Desert Word Center. How is everybody on this beautiful, windy, cloudy, freezing cold March Sunday night? Amen. Well, praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord together. And I will always say I will take this over summertime. So I'm not really complaining. We're having a good time. Amen. Well, we're going to have a great time together tonight, getting into the Word of God and having some worship. Let's go ahead and stand up tonight. We are going to open things up by speaking some words of faith over the United States of America. And again, we're just going to walk by faith and keep boldly proclaiming the Word of God. Amen. Let's say it together. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and in unity, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord over the United States of America. We declare that righteousness, mercy, justice, and judgment from you shall prevail. We declare that America will complete her God-given mission to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We push back the darkness of Satan from this nation and call for the light of Jesus Christ to invade the media and every home, church, and school, and every town, city, and state of this great nation, the United States of America, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, give the Lord some praise tonight, and you may be seated. All right, we're going to get into our announcements here. Who knows what is exactly 1 week from today? Yeah, absolutely. Today is Palm Sunday, which is the day that Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on the donkey. And as we talked about this morning, everybody praised him on Sunday. And by Friday, they were saying, let's kill this man. So things turned around very, very quickly in that situation. But we're all grateful that Jesus died but rose again. And so let's talk about Easter. It is vastly approaching. Your job out of all of this, what's your job? Invite people. That's all you gotta do is invite people. And the good news is if some of you work on Sunday mornings and can't come on Sunday mornings, you can invite them to the Good Friday service at 7 p.m. All right. And so that will be this Friday night, 7 p.m. It is our first ever Good Friday service. We will be doing the full Easter play that night. And I just got to see it really for the first time earlier. It's really, really good. All right. You don't want to miss it. It is really good. And there's a lot of humor in it, but there's a very powerful message. And so don't miss this Friday at 7 p.m. And so we'll do the play and then share a few words and then we'll dismiss. But then Sunday is going to be the big Easter service, 10 a.m. We're going to do the play all over again. The kids are doing their musical performance with their songs. And right after service, there's the Easter egg hunt right outside the doors here. Over 4,000 eggs full of candy and scriptures. And so it's going to be absolutely phenomenal. And we're believing for so many people to come and give their lives to Jesus. Who believes that that's going to happen this weekend? Amen. We are really, really excited. So I'm just challenging everybody. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. We have made it so easy for you to invite somebody to church this weekend. You will never have an easier chance than this. Grab an invitation off of the info booth tonight and invite at least one person or family this weekend, because the harvest is great and we all have a job to do in this. Amen. All right. And so a couple other things here. The Enriched Food Pantry. So we're still working on getting our Midtown location open. We're closer and closer. There's been so many hoops and paperwork to jump through, but we're very close on this. But the one thing that we are able to help out with right now is the food pantry, Enriched Food Pantry, which takes place on the property over there. And so they feed a lot of people every week, a lot of people. And they're asking me to, you know, to recruit some more help from over here. So a couple of days that are set in stone for helping. Every Thursday, they distribute food at 10 a.m. to like the first 100 people that get there. But if you are interested at all in helping out with this, I think Cindy helps out a lot, if I'm not mistaken, over there. And so, yes, they want you there at 9 a.m. if you can ever help. And this is the location that was formerly Barstow Christian School or the Free Methodist Church. That's where I'm talking about. But if you want to help out with food distribution, You could just go over there 9 a.m. any Thursday, and there's plenty to do. And then one day that they need, especially need help, is the third Tuesday of every month. They receive like a semi full of food from down the hill from, I think it's called Feeding America. And so they get a whole semi, and they really, it's very helpful if they've got little muscle power to get this job done. So anyway, those are two things right there. You can see them and take a picture or whatever, that are always available to help with over there, and any help is always appreciated. All right, and then our last announcement is the parenting class called Parenting Through the Phases, and that's going to be starting on Sunday, April the 7th, so the first Sunday of April. It'll take place during the 6 p.m. service. The class will be over there in Victory Hall, and we'll have service over here, but it's going to be a six-week class. We've got free childcare because the nursery and everything's open, and we would just love for you to be able to take advantage of this class called Parenting Through the Phases. Amen. Well, I believe that is all the announcements we have for tonight. So who knows what time it is? That's it. Amen. Because God loves a cheerful giver. If you need an envelope, raise your hand. The ushers will get one to you. We're going to open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to look at a few verses here this evening. And this is actually the chapter where we get our motivation for happy time, because it tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll look here at verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll pick it up here at verse 6. I'm in the NLT. And the Apostle Paul says, "Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully," a cheerful giver. Amen. Do we have cheerful givers in the house tonight? Yes. And then the next verse tells us, as we give, listen, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Because sometimes it seems like part of the hesitation in being a giver is like, well, if I give, then maybe I just won't have enough anymore for me and my family. But God said, no, that's not how it works with me. If you'll use faith and give, I'll make sure that you always have enough for you or your family. And then it says plenty left over to share with others. And so that is a key to the kingdom of God, when we learn that as we give, man, that it's a step of faith, but God rewards us for that, and he'll just make sure we've got everything we need anyway. So take that step of faith and be a giver, and watch what God can do. Amen. All right, well, let's stand up together tonight. We're going to speak some words of faith over our giving. And we always want to mix everything we do with faith, and our words are powerful, and so we do this by faith. Let's go ahead and speak these words together. As we bring the Lord's tithe and give offerings today, we believe we receive jobs or better jobs, promotions, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, growth in business, settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, debts paid off, royalties received, blessings and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, so I have more than enough to take good care of my family, to give generously to the kingdom of God, and promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go.
If you want, you can join me at the altar for worship, and let's sing together.
And we have been justified by faith through Jesus Christ. It's only by his grace we stand. Once bound by sin and shame, and now slave to righteousness, our faith perfected by his love. and praise the Savior He has won. I stand defeated through His blood, and now exalted Jesus reigns. I hail the King and praise His name. And while we were weak, He died, making us reconciled to God for all eternal days. Now even in our fading flesh, our only hope and rest is found in faith that Jesus saves. And praise the Savior He has won. I stand defeated through His blood, and now exalted Jesus reigns. I hail the King and praise His name. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the glory of God. While we were weak, He died, making us reconciled to God for all eternal days. Now even in our fading flesh, our only hope and rest is found in faith that Jesus saves. Praise the Savior He has won. Our sin defeated through His blood, and now exalted Jesus reigns. Hail the King and praise His name. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the glory of God. Our hope of glory is found in the One who gives great joy to sing about. The love that He poured out, forever lifted high, our Savior Jesus Christ, the gift of God given in love. And praise the Savior He has won. Our sin defeated through His blood, and now exalted Jesus reigns. Hail the King and praise His name. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the glory of God. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the glory of God.
The riches of this world
could never satisfy. Let my heart want for only. You're my constant. And you're my constant in the chaos. And you're my compass when the road is long. You're my portion, never failing. And for me, only Jesus. Let my heart want for nothing but you, just you. Let my heart want for nothing but you, just you. The riches of this world could never satisfy. Let my heart want for only you. You're my center, should I wander. You're my future, and you redeem my past. Every moment, and then forever. For me, only Jesus. For me, Jesus. Let my heart want for nothing but you, just you. Let my heart want for nothing but you, just you. The riches of this world could never satisfy. Let my heart want for only you. For me, for me, only Jesus. 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 For me, for me, for me. Let my heart want for nothing but you, just you. Let my heart want for nothing but you, just you. The riches of this world could never satisfy. Let my heart want for only you. Let my heart want for nothing but you, just you. Let my heart want for nothing but you, just you. The riches of this world could never satisfy. Let my heart want for only you. The riches of this world could never satisfy. Let my heart want for only you.
Jesus. Lord, you said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Lord, we're hungry. We're thirsty. We want more of you. We want to know you better. We want to be able to serve you better. And Lord, you said we're supposed to be a light to the world. And so if you said, let there be light, then we say, let there be light through us to shine in the darkness around us, Lord. We want to be used by you. We want to be blessed by you so we can be a blessing. And Father, we want to keep on everywhere we go talking about Christ to all who will listen, Lord. We just want to thank you tonight as we look at your holy written word, as we do listen with our hearts. Like the song says, we want only you, more of you, Lord. And we just want to thank you that tonight we're going to have changed thinking. We're going to have a changed outlook on life and see things different so we can be a bigger blessing, Lord, to everyone we see. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us all tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about God rewards right living. God rewards right living. And, you know, a lot of Christians don't know that because they've been taught wrong. But I want to look at Psalms 91, verse 8 to start off with. And this is what... Amen. Thank you, Dylan. That was good. Amen. We're excited about the word. But Psalms 91, verse 8. I was reading this morning, and it got me to thinking. So I prayed, and I put together this for tonight to help a lot of Christians to be able to believe God to take care of their families in the right way. Psalms 91, verse 8. And as I was going through this psalm and saw this verse here, it says, only with thine eyes, only with your eyes, shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. The reward of the wicked. Well, how many do know the Bible talks about there's the righteous and there's the wicked. You know, there's believers, that there's infidels, heathen, unsaved people, whatever you want to call them. There's either the family of God or the family of the devil. And Jesus told about that in John chapter 8 for one place for sure. But the thing is, if you're a born-again believer, you're not the wicked. And he says there's reward for the wicked. He said, for believers, now get this, there's a lot of things going on in the world today that are because of sin in the earth. How many believe that? I mean, man, you can't stick your finger in God's eye forever and ever get by with it. Sodom and Gomorrah found that out, didn't they? Amen, they got their reward. And it wasn't good. And at the end of the church age, we know the Bible tells us that God's going to judge the earth again. He's going to burn it with fire. So he's going to do it again. But the thing is, by then he says he's going to pull the saints out. We're going to be gone. We're going to be in heaven. That's part of our reward. But he says there's a reward of the wicked. And so I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking about what I know the Bible says about the reward blessing for the righteous. That's who we are. So I want to look at some things in the Bible tonight and maybe straighten up some thinking that, a lot of Christians have had, and you know, out there, there's a lot of people watching us out there too, not just in the room right here. But the thing is, God can't bless you beyond what you believe Him for. And if you continually have wrong thinking about the blessing of God, and there's a lot of people have attitude, oh, I don't want anything, I don't expect anything. Well, you can have what you say. And so you need to change your thinking according to the Bible, be biblically correct instead of religiously goofed up. And so I want to look then at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. And I want to straighten up the thinking through the Word of God to people that have been religiously brainwashed and don't expect much from God. I was thinking as I was worshiping God, knowing what I'm going to be teaching tonight, that when I was growing up, I wasn't raised in a Christian family, but I was aware of the Christian world because of all the churches. We came from the Bible Belt. There was every kind of denomination of church you could think of in Indianapolis. But as I was thinking about this message, I got to seeing pictures of the churches in Indianapolis I saw, and it seemed like the poorest people were the Pentecostals. And a lot of them, I'm not speaking about any particular denomination or anything, but a lot of them were taught that God didn't want you to have anything. That it was humble to stay poor. It was humble to have nothing. And that's the worst witness you can have to the world. They don't have to serve God. They can be poor. They can lack, not go to church. So why would you, if you as a person of means, want to start going to church so you come step into poverty? Amen. You hear what I'm saying? And so a lot of things because of bad religious teaching, but I want you to look at 2 Timothy 2:15. And he says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That's talking about a student of the word. Rightly dividing. That word dividing means interpreting. Rightly interpreting the word of truth. And so if the Bible says there's a right way to interpret the Bible, then there must be a wrong way. Amen. Why would he say to rightly interpret if it could be possible to wrongly interpret? And so anyway, I want to teach tonight why it's so important to have and study your own Bible, sit under sound biblical teaching, and yourself by the Holy Spirit, then you know what the Bible really says. And I'm thinking about how God gave us the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and he gave us human vessels that he gifts to teach the Bible. But the thing is, human vessels like myself, we're only going to be as accurate as we spend our time with Jesus and obey what he tells us to do. And so then also Jesus told us, Paul told us, you judge a tree by its fruit. And so I know that over the years, some of the, you know, I hate to say it, but counterfeit preachers I've known out there, there's a whole lot more genuine than there are counterfeits. But I've seen the counterfeits. I've seen people in my own life. I've met preachers over the world over the years since I've been a minister. Before I was a minister, they were in it for the money. They wasn't in it for people. But I've met other business people too, other professions, lawyers, bankers, and other people too, that they was in it for what they could get, not really to help you. And so just because there's been counterfeit doesn't mean there's not genuine. And so we have to know that for me, I know that there's preachers I listen to and some I wouldn't listen to for anything, the same you listen to. But I judge the fruit. I judge the fruit. And what's the best way to judge fruit? Well, if you're a minister of Jesus, they'll have Jesus fruit. Study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See what Jesus did. Jesus always put the people first. Jesus rebuked his leadership to keep them in line. Jesus loved the people. Jesus loved sinners. He loved the down and outers. He loved the rich. He loved them all, but it wasn't what they could do for him, what he could do for them. And so if I were judging a ministry and a preacher to listen to, I would look at, I'd look for a couple of things. Number one, are they helping people? Are people's lives being bettered or are they being hurt? Are people getting delivered? Are people beginning to come out of poverty? It's just different things you see. In other words, when Jesus is working in a ministry, people's lives are being bettered like they were in Jesus' day. But at the same time, Jesus was lied about that he was persecuted. But the thing is, people can judge the fruit of his ministry. So I'm just saying, out here, for you to be able to study the Word of God, you got to be under good Bible teaching too. And in modern times with the internet and everything going on out there, I would be very careful about who I listen to. I remember, matter of fact, I remember when I came to California, there was another popular thing going across the country again that I've seen happen multiple times in my 44 years of being a born again Christian in the ministry, 43 years. I saw a lot of things going on back when we came out here that people were starting to follow. And they're getting all caught up in it. People of this church and Christians across America getting all caught up in it. And some of the people wanted us to watch it. So, we turned on our computer and we looked at it and I could only stomach it about 2 minutes. I said, that's error. That's wrong. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. And within about another probably 3 or 4 months, turned out the guy was the leader of that. He was having sex with boys. He was a doper. He was a drinker. He was a pervert, but he had millions of Christians following him. And that's because he talked good. He dressed good. He smiled good. And he looked like one of them, but he was a counterfeit. And then that came through Barstow. And there was a lot of Christians in Barstow got hurt through that movement. But the thing was, when you're talking about a bona fide man or woman of God, you're going to see the fruit in their lives, that people's lives are changing for the better, the better, the better, the better, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's why I say right here in 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, you've got to study yourself. Bring your Bible to church every time you come. And if you happen to watch internet preachers, Why don't you do some research on them, see who they are, what their background is. And look at what people say about them, what their blogs are. And, you know, what are they preaching? Are they helping people? Or, you know, I hope you're sharp enough to recognize and have the Holy Spirit in you, let you know on the inside, something not right there. That's not right. And be able to run. And so anyway, I'm going to show you one area that many believers don't understand because they've been taught wrong. And it's so easily to wrongly interpret the Word of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And this seems so innocent because it's been taught so wrongly in so many places. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. He says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." He said, God has prepared us for good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And so this teaching right here, there's two different ditches that Christians fall into. Number one, people say, well, you have to be good enough to get to heaven. If you do more good things, you do right things, you can get to heaven. If you're good enough someday, maybe you'll get to heaven. And then they say they're cute little things like, well, St. Peter at the pearly gates. Well, the Bible doesn't say St. Peter's at the pearly gates anyway. But anyway, people think St. Peter's at the pearly gates because they've always heard that. But the whole, and by the way, you won't get close to the pearly gates if you're not saved. You're already in the wrong direction anyway, and you're done with. But anyway, you're a crispy critter. But that's one ditch that people preach. Good works is the way to get to heaven. He says by grace. But then the other ditch is too many Christians have been taught you can't expect anything special from God because you're doing good, because you're living right. Well, that's a ditch too. We can't expect reward. We can't expect blessing. We don't do good works to get saved, but he says he prepared us to do good works after we're saved. So because we are saved, we do good works. You see what I'm saying? But people teach that you're not supposed to expect anything by doing it. We're going to go through the Bible and see what God has to say about rewarding the righteous. If there's a reward for the wicked, and we already saw that, we only see that for eyes, then we'll be able to see the reward of the righteous. Amen? And so, but because we're saved, we do good works because God prepared us to do good works. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. We got the love of God in us. We got the fruit of the Spirit in us. We got hands that are anointed. We got words that are anointed. There's so many good things we can do that the world can't do because we're anointed and we're blessed. And so we do good works because we love Jesus and we want to demonstrate his love to everybody we can in our realm of influence. We want people to experience the love of Jesus, and a lot of times just like that food pantry and outreaches we do here and other things we do. We're not doing those to get points with God, but we're going to see because we do good works. He said he's prepared us for good works. Because we do, we're going to see God reward us and bless us. But if you're all the time saying, oh, I don't expect anything. Oh, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. Oh, no, I don't want God to do something for me. He said he's prepared you for good works as a reason. He wants to bless you to be a blessing. And part of you getting the blessing of God is you doing good works and doing things. But if you're in the ditch, that you don't expect anything from God for what you do, then you're not going to receive from God much at all. You get the spillover blessing. I want more than spillover. How about you? Amen. So look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Now, do you see the error I'm talking about there? We don't get saved because we do good, but then after we're saved, we do good because God wants us to, but we can expect him to bless us too. And we don't do it to get blessed, but at the same time, we got to keep our mouths right so we don't shut off the blessing. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. He says, "But refuse profane and old wise fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profits little. You know, some people might be majoring on the minor instead of majoring on the major. Some people may be working on the body too much. And maybe if they split their time up and spend half the time in the Word and half the time in the gym, they might be more blessed. Just a thought. Anyway, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. It says, for godliness is profitable unto all things. Now look at this right here. Talk about a godly Christian. Having promise of the life that now is, out of that which is to come. The life that now is where I've been living since 1951 on this earth. That's where you live now. This is the life that now is. Can you see how the Holy Spirit wanted to make it plain there? That says he wants you to profit, be blessed in the life that now is, and then in the world to come. So in other words, he's talking about the present tense, and he's talking about eternity. He says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And godliness simply means God-likeness. Act like God would like. Act like God would live. And how do you want to know what God would live like? Jesus said in John 14, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. And so if you're going to live godly, then you're going to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you're going to act like Jesus acted, because Jesus said that we're supposed to be imitators of him. We're his disciples. We're Christians. That Christian basically means little Christ-like ones. We're supposed to be Christ-like. And what did Christ do? Well, he didn't go around cussing. Didn't go around snorting, smoking, injecting, hurting people. When the bad people came to him, he didn't curse them, run them off. The only ones that Jesus ever gave a hard time to was religious people that were hurting other people with their religion. Matter of fact, when you stop and think about it, it wasn't the Roman soldiers that killed Jesus. It was the religious crowd. The religious crowd killed Jesus because Jesus was doing what the religious people were against. The religious people wanted to judge people because they're never good enough for them. Amen. And Jesus said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And so I learned in my life and exercised myself to God-likeness that when people do wrong, and then it's obviously they're suffering the penalty of the wrongdoing, instead of kicking them down, I want to pick them back up. You know, sometimes people get in trouble and things happen just because they're ignorant Christians. They don't know what belongs to them. They don't know how to take authority over the devil. Amen. They don't know how to claim the promises of God. And so that's called ignorance. And God said in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for ignorance, lack of knowledge. But then sometimes it's obvious when you see Christians living in sin, doing wrong things, seeing Christians that are backbiters and gossips and just really doing all kinds of things. Man, they've got to stop that, get together, because one of these days they're going to get a harvest. It's going to come on them. But then religious people, that happens, they say, see, I told you she was like that. I told you he was going to get it. It was coming. Jesus didn't say that. That woman that was caught in adultery, he looked at her, he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she was caught in adultery. And she said, Lord, there are none. He said, neither will I. He said, go and sin no more. And so as a man of God, as a believer, as a pastor, all of my Christian life, I've done my best not to throw stones. Because I found out I live in a glass house. And I know there's been times I needed mercy and not judgment. And so Jesus said that what you sow is what you're going to reap. And so I want to reap the reward for righteous living. And so I want to look at this again to make sure you see this. It says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for godliness is profitable. Does anybody know what race that Paul was? He was a Jew. Does anybody ever recognize that Jews have a different perspective on profit than we do? Jews don't lose money, they make money. So when Jews say something's profitable, that means you're going to gain out of it. So he said, godliness, living godlike, is profitable in all things, having promised that the life that now is, and that which is to come. And I wrote something down while I was worshiping a minute ago, because came back to me just as clear as could be. My family and I gave up a good trucking career way back in 1992. We pioneered a church. And I had a really good teacher's pay going back then, and et cetera, doing really great. And we had a lot of kids, a whole lot of kids. And we were doing everything we can to keep our cars rolling. And I was pastoring, preaching prosperity, preaching the goodness of God. And things didn't look that great for us. But I remember one day we had a revival going back in 1995, February. And I was sitting on the piano bench, putting some things together, looked at some things, prayed about the nighttime service. And just as clear as me, the Lord said to me, it pays to serve God. It's not a curse. Well, I felt like I was cursed. I'd never confess it, never say it. I'd never talk about being poor until the last few years. I said, I can talk about it now. There's a lot of miles behind the poor days. But, I'm preaching to real people right now that are listening. And so I was preaching this for everybody else. And in my church, we were middle-class people. We had a few wealthy people in the church and things like that. But a lot of the times, I had the worst-looking car. And I bought my clothes at Goodwill. I just didn't tell anybody. And, we had a lot of hand-me-downs and things like that. And I was preaching, tithing. The windows of heaven are open, but it never looked like it. The Lord told me. He said, I'm going to use your family to demonstrate. It pays to serve God, and it's not a curse. And so I want to preach that to you. Get that in your thinking. That no matter what you look like right now, it pays to serve God. He said, godliness is profitable. Godliness is profitable. It pays to serve God. Seed time and harvest is real. Sowing and reaping are real. These things are real. And so if there's reward of the wicked, there's reward for the righteous. And right here, he began to tell us about that. And so this prophet is for us. And so godliness, living like Jesus, love and serve others. Love and serve others. And I like what Pastor Dave said, talking about Cindy. She can't brag on her, but I can because I'm her pastor. And I've known her for 19 years now. And that Cindy is the kind of Christian that you want to be. She's a behind-the-scenes person. She does not want to talk up here. She wants to be behind the scenes, making everything work. And she's over there at the food pantry and working. Who would know that but Jesus? Lots of things in the church over the years. She's been behind the scenes for years, children's ministry, youth ministry, lots of everything else behind the scenes working. That's godliness. She's a server. Do you remember what Jesus said about that? Jesus said, he that's going to be the greatest of all has got to be the servant of all. And so servants. And do you know that some of the greatest servants in the world are pastors and spiritual leaders? Amen. They're the ones that keep everything going behind the scenes nobody sees. And the little bitty part you get to see up here for 45 minutes an hour on a few serves a week, you're not seeing their whole life. You're not seeing the life behind the scene, the marriages they're putting together. The people they're getting delivered. All the things they're going through to get people living right. And all the pressures come their way. So pastors learn to serve more than anything else. And that's one of the qualifications for being a pastor, is you got to be the greatest servant of all. But anyway, that was a by note. And so if you're going to live godly, you say no to sin and yes to righteousness, which is right living. You've got to get it in your thinking that I say no to sin and yes to doing right. I say no to sin and yes to doing right. Mrs. Pastor and I, we've got the TV DVR where you can record things and look at them later. And so when I record some things on there, if I'm not sure about it, it's recorded. And last night, there's a movie, I thought, that looks pretty good, let's watch that. I turned it on the first 2 minutes, I heard a word that wasn't the right word. I said, nope, may be good for somebody else, but not for us. And I took it right off. I don't want to get that in me. I want to live right. I want to walk in the anointing. He said, godliness is profitable unto all things. Say that, say godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Amen, amen. Give a shout to the Lord. So there's promise, there's reward for us on earth if we will do and live right right now. Now go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And you've got to get it in your thinking that God wants you blessed. He wants you prosperous. He doesn't want you greedy. He doesn't want you covetous. Ten Commandments says you're not supposed to covet your neighbor's things. He doesn't want you covetous. You know, let me tell you something that the world preaches nonstop that you can't get in you if you're a Christian. They preach class warfare, class warfare, class warfare. They preach it's not right. You know, they got to pay their fair share and all that stuff they say. Well, the whole thing is God says that he'll bless you if you live right. Says he'll prosper you if you're a businessman that lives right. And so the whole thing is you don't covet somebody else's wealth because they got it. You do what they did. You follow Jesus, follow the plan of God, you get it too. There's more than enough for you without making somebody else go broke. And another thing that I got into me years ago, I saw when it happened. I saw the day when they don't have telephone books now. They don't have telephone booths. But I remember, how many of you are old enough to remember when the telephone books all of a sudden started getting lawyers' pictures on the front page? And they had a big number there. I just say it's a number, universal number, 1-800-SUE-YOU. Call 1-800-SUE-YOU. And then I saw things that began to happen across our country because the way the devil came in with that 1-800-SUE spirit, that they'd anybody for anything would sue their neighbor. And, you know, I looked at my church people. I started seeing this stuff. I said, I do not want to have a fender bender with you and take everything you've got so your kids don't have any school money. You don't have money to buy food. You don't have money to come out of poverty because I took your money because I sued you. Amen. I want what's right if something happens. It'd be nice to be taken care of. That's why I got insurance. But the thing is, why should I hurt somebody else's family out of greed and covetousness because I want more things and take it from them? Why can't I live by godly principles? Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shake together, run over, shall men give into your bosom. Amen. And so we as believers have to change our way of thinking. God wants to reward right living. And God did not say, he said, thou shalt take thy neighbor to help thyself. He said, if your neighbor knocks on the door at midnight and says, hey, can I borrow something? Say, no, you can't borrow it, but I'll give it to you. I'm doing better preaching than you are shouting. Amen. Amen. Hebrews 11:6. Look at this here. It says, but without faith is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then what else you're supposed to believe? That he's a rewarder. You believe that God is, you're supposed to also believe that he's a rewarder. Don't get that religious thing in your talking anymore. Oh, I don't expect anything for this. And God says, you'll have what you say. I want to give it to you, but you got my hands tied. Amen. I don't get up here and preach for money. I preach because I love Jesus and he called me to. But I'm so glad I still get a paycheck. Amen. Amen. When I was a truck driver, I went in there not because I loved truck driving, but I did love it. I liked it. But I'm so glad to get the paycheck. I got a reward every week. We got paid by the week. Every week I got a reward. Amen. And when you serve Jesus, he rewards you. But you're not working for him for the reward. You're working for him because you love him and you want to be a blessing. But at the same time, you're not going to open your mouth and say, oh, Jesus, I don't want anything for this. I would never go into the truck driving job when I had all those little mouths to feed. Say, guys, I'll tell you what, I just love driving trucks so much. I'm going to drive. Don't ever pay me again. And then if the light bill came, I'd say, hey, guess what? I know you love to give me some lights, give me electricity so much that I don't ever want to pay you again. I'll just take it. Nope. They say, no light bill pay, no lights. Amen. So we need to be taken care of. And so he says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I want to say something about that. He didn't say I'm a rewarder of all believers. He said I'm a rewarder of serious believers. And that diligent there means busy, painstaking effort. That means somebody that's a serious Christian. Somebody's going to live for him all the time and not be a part-timer. You know, we're not weekend warriors. No, we're on duty all the time. And so I want to get that to you again one more time because we're talking about the reward. We see the reward of the wicked, he said. And so then right here, God says he's got a rewarder for the righteous. And so we need to believe for God's rewards, for God's blessing. And one simple dictionary definition I read this morning is this. Definition of reward is a thing given in recognition of one's service, effort, or achievement. A reward. God's a rewarder. And the definition again, a thing given in recognition of one's service, effort, or achievement. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so I want to say this again. I want to drive this point home. Ephesians 2:8, he says that we are prepared by God for good works. We are prepared by God for good works. We are prepared by God for good works. And God rewards good workers. Amen. Amen. God rewards good workers. And so God Himself says in this present time, if we'll follow His plan for our life and live right, He says, I reward right living. He says godliness is profitable. And so say this again. Say, I don't do good works to get God to bless me. But because I'm saved, I do good works out of love for God, and He does bless me. Amen. That's got to become just part of your nature. And how does that work? I'll tell you one way it works. Back when we were living in Povertyville, anybody ever lived in Povertyville? We had one in Morgan County, Indiana. I know because I used to live in Povertyville. Well, we had Povertyville and had a hard time paying bills. I never was a phone call person, but I prayed for my wife and she did her phone calls to call the utility companies and make a deal with them to pay this much. Matter of fact, see this tall, good-looking preacher up here, the front row? He was born in 1985. He got leukemia in the middle of 1988. And sometime, probably a couple years after he healed from leukemia, we finally got him paid off at the hospital. Didn't have money for the hospital when he was born, so we made the deal. Sometimes for a few months out of the year, we'd pay him $15 or $25. If what? He was 4 years old when we got him paid off. Amen. But what I'm saying is this. That's called Povertyville. But the thing was, we paid the hospital. We paid him. Took us all that time. Sometimes we'd only be able to pay him $50 a year. But we kept paying. Sometimes I had a job, sometimes I didn't. Trucking was bad back in those days. It wasn't real good. I remember 1 year I got my Social Security. You know, they give you that little thing every year, tells what you made. And then this was quite a few years ago, but even back then it wasn't a lot of money. I made $6,000 with 8 kids for the year. I never missed a tithe. I gave God His 10%. Every time I got paid, He got His 10%. I kept confessing we had it and believing we had it. And people gave us a lot of things. I like to believe it's because of the love of God, but I think they feel sorry for us more than anything. I loved it when our church had a pitch-in. Do we still call them pitch-ins, Pastor Dave? I don't believe in luck, so we'd never have a potluck in this church. We have pitch-ins. And I don't go by luck. I go by blessing. But anyway, we had pitch-ins. It means everybody brings something. We get together to do that. I loved it when they had those things. And we was kind of like hungry dogs when you're done eating, looking at the plates and everything left over. We just kind of stood around, tried to be nonchalant, hoping when they get with picking the stuff up. We had 500 people in that church we went to. Hope with us getting ready to get rid of stuff that say, hey, give the sample some of that. And man, we just wait around and man, we'd fill up our pockets, our sacks. Anything we had, we took food home, thought, glory to God, gives us their daily bread. Well, he get more than that. We got a week's worth this time. Amen. And so I'm telling you, I know what Povertyville is. And we live there. I'm so glad we don't live there anymore. As a matter of fact, the year he was born, with all the kids we had, I had a borrowed 1985 Ford Fiesta. Little bitty car smaller than a Volkswagen. For a whole year, I drove a Ford Fiesta. It wasn't even my car. And man, I did my best to keep that thing running. And then if it broke down, I had to call the man it belonged to. And he'd have to pay to get it fixed, so I keep on driving it. Was that poor? That was poor. But you know what? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We're not poor anymore. Now we pay for other people's cars. We get other people's cars fixed. We help other people now. We crossed over the line. We crossed over the line at some point in time from living on the unblessed to the blessed side. But we had to keep on believing it for years and years and years and years. And so we quoted verses like this. And so we are the people that serve God. And because we serve God with right hearts and right motives, God blesses us. Now look at Psalms 91 verse 7. I want to look at this again before we shift a little gear, because we're changing the thinking of believers to be able to receive all that God has for them. Psalms 91 verse 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at my side. Well, it says thy side, but see, I always make it personal, first person for me. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, shall not come near thee. And so I confess this verse over myself and my family and my church, especially the times we live in. I remember when the pandemic started. That's what I confessed over myself and this church, and they was really doing everything they could to just see all the people dying, all the sick people, and all the horror stories. And a lot of it were real facts that was going on, but I'd always look at this and say, 1,000 may fall on my left hand, 10,000 on my right hand, but COVID will not come nigh my home. Amen. And the thing is, as believers, you can check out of that if you don't want it. And you know, I can tell if you checked out. If I were talking to you, I said, you know what? I'm believing in the name of Jesus. Our church is COVID-free. Our families are COVID-free. And then you say, well, yeah, Pastor, I know. And then here's where you give yourself away. But then when a person says, but, then they get ready to tell you what they really believe. They said, but you know this and you know that. Well, I see the same news you see. I hear the same things you hear, but I choose to believe in a higher power. I believe to choose a higher authority. And my God said that 1,000 may fall at my left, 10,000 my right, but not come nigh me. You know what I'm going to say? 1,000 may fall here, et cetera, et cetera. Back when I got blood cancer, back in 2017, 2018, 70% blood was full of cancer. I said, well, if all these people got cancer, 1,000 may fall at my left hand, 10,000 my right, but not come nigh me. I'm coming out of this, and I did. And that's the way this thing works. You got to be able to start talking right about the reward, or we can say the blessing of God. The blessing of God on my life to live and not die, that's Psalms 118, verse 17. And I confess those many times through cancer, heart attack, stroke, and lots of other things. I confess that Psalms 118, verse 70 says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. What am I declaring tonight? The works of the Lord. And I'm alive. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I never had any fear about cancer. I feared no evil. Why? Because Psalms 91:1 says, if you live in the secret place of the Most High. I lived in the secret place of the Most High. I went through the valley of the shadow of death. And this thing here about the shadow, I got the revelation of that shadow back in those days too. If you're close enough to somebody or something that the shadow covers you, you're close. And so if you're in the valley of the shadow of death, that means you're up against it. But if you live in the secret place of the Most High, like Psalm 91:1 says, that's a shadow. And so the Lord told me back then, he said, you fear no evil because a greater shadow's with you. And so for those of you that are living in the shadow of poverty, stay with the greater shadow. Stay closer, but keep your mouth right. And so then verse 8, we've already looked at that, but I want you to see that may happen all around you, but doesn't have to happen in your life. And so I want to look at a couple of things now, because we're not looking at the reward of the wicked, but at the reward of the righteous. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. And it's really important that you see this, because there's been so much wrong religious teaching about these things, that if we're going to rightly interpret the word of truth, we got to see the word of truth. Acts 10, verse 1 through 4, says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, that's a Roman army officer, of the band called the Italian band. He had 100 soldiers under him. He is a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, all of his family, which gave much alms to the people. That means he gave to the poor. He was a big giver. He was a generous giver. And he prayed to God always. Now look at this right here. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, 3 o'clock of the day, an angel of God coming into him and said to him, Cornelius, I want you to catch this. We looked on him. He was afraid, said, what is it, Lord? Said to him, thy prayers and thine alms, thy giving are come up for a memorial before God. God watches what we give. He's a rewarder. He's a rewarder of those who are generous givers. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we're going to see this. It says, your alms come up for a memorial before God. In other words, God remembers what he gave. A memorial, that's something to remember. God said, your prayers and your giving. How many believe God hears your prayers? How many believe that God sees your giving? Hey, man, he doesn't see your giving just because, oh, that's really nice. He sees your giving because he sees your heart. He sees your life. Now go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I want to remind again the purpose that Jesus has me teaching this tonight. He does not want former religious teaching to poison your mind that it's wrong to believe God to bless you. Amen. He doesn't want you to have that old stinking thinking, well, it's humble to be poor. Amen. And you know, I know when I was first saved around a lot of different religious people, I heard so many stupid stuff. But you know, when Jesus said, the poor you'll always have with you. How many know Jesus said that? He didn't say you had to be the poor though. Amen. I guess the homeless you always have with you too, but you'll have to be homeless. Amen. I believe God for a good home. And I want to help people. And so just because you got the poor doesn't mean you have to be one of them. You be one of the helpers of the poor. One of the givers to the poor. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, he said, take heed that you do not your alms, that means your giving before men, to be seen of them. He's talking about the motive of your heart. He says, don't be a giver to be seen of men. Otherwise, you have no reward. See, God's big on the reward business. You see that? He says, if your whole thing is to be go up there, $100 bill in your hand, or something just to kind of just make sure people see what you're doing, a bunch of $100 bills like that, or whether you got a quarter or $100 bills, you should give the same. Between you and God, you give it. Amen. He said, you have your reward if you do that to be seen. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. They have your reward. And you know, I was thinking, as I was looking at these passages today for preaching tonight, I know in this church here, there's been some times we've had people put, I haven't looked at the money for a few years because other people run that now. But I know we've had people in the last year gave $50,000, a few of them at different times. And somebody, I remember back in the poor days, I remember a guy I used to go to church with, I see him put $5 in the offering every time he went. I thought, man, that's really big. I can barely do a dollar. You know, it really crunched me to do a dollar. I thought, man, it's a midweek service. He put $5 in there. Well, I mean, you know, those days are long gone now. I mean, that's nothing for me to give, you know, different things and et cetera. But he said, your reward is if you want people to know you put $50,000, then there's no reward for your father. You've already got your reward. They said, man, look at them, man. Those people, oh boy, they got it made. Look what they can do. Well, good. They got the reward. They got the praise of men. But I want to be like Cornelius. When I give, I want God to look down from heaven and say, I've heard your prayers. I've seen your giving. Amen. Does this kind of mess up stinking religious thinking that God doesn't care about your money? He wants you poor? That's not all right at all. And so he says they have their reward because they gave to be seen of men. And so if your motive is to be seen of men in anything you do, there's no reward from God. You know, if you're ever in the church serving and doing things like that, and you start feeling pride come in, you want everybody to see how much you're doing, if you want to be called up front to be recognized, then you got your reward. It's good to be called up and be recognized. But sometimes you don't get called up and be recognized. I don't know a woman sitting in the front row here that ran the nursery for a few years in a 500-seat, 500-member church. She never got called up one time, was recognized, because she was a woman that had been divorced and remarried. And they didn't like that church, if you've been remarried after being divorced, never got recognized. And then she had somebody else that run the nursery after her. They called up nearly every service about what a good job they were doing. But you know what? She got a reward. She's blessed now. She's the mother of the church. Amen. She gets honor. Amen. And so all the things she did in that church, she never did for reward. She did it because she loved Jesus. And it's a good thing. She didn't want it praise from men because she never got it. But praise God, she's getting it now, isn't she? Amen. And so look at this next verse, though. Verse 3, but when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. That's talking about giving in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And so God said, as long as you got the right motive. You know, there's been times that I, just so I could give, put a couple pennies in the offering. And there's been times I gave a whole lot more than that in the current times because I'm blessed a whole lot more than I used to be. But the thing was, I could give just as cheerfully with two pennies. And there's been times, even in this church where I didn't have the cash on me, I'd go up there if I had four change I had. And when I got to the bucket, I'd put my hand down real easy and drop it in so it wouldn't be heard, because it's between me and God what I was doing. And there's been times we've had projects going on when I've been able to give thousands. But the whole thing is, nobody knew. It's between me and God. And so he said, you do it in secret. It says at verse 5, and at verse 4, thine alms also will be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Himself shall reward thee openly. So he's the one we look to for our blessing. And so that open reward is God's promises manifested in your life. God's promises manifested in your life. How many want the promise of God manifested? Not just say I'm standing on the promises, but have the promises working in your life where people say, but anyway, that's what he says. But there's one more thing I want to look at as we close. Put this on the screen, Joel. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 2. Okay, now, because we rightly divide the word of truth, we rightly interpret the word of truth, most of the time our giving is in secret. And because we're running out of time, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is totally, totally, totally written about the church's giving and how that influenced other churches to be giving believers and giving churches, because they influenced others by their giving. And so sometimes God has people give in public to encourage others. So these verses from the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 9, 1 and 2 says, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving. There's a ministry of giving. Wow. Ministry of giving. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8 talks all about this. For the believers in Jerusalem, verse 2, for I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that in Greece that were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. And so there's times that God uses people to do public giving to encourage other people. And I know that for all my pastoring life, as long as I had to give, any projects we ever did, most of the time when I was the pastor leading the church, when we started a project, whatever I had to do to get it started, I would stir the pot. I'd stand here and say, well, Mrs. Pastor and I are going to give the first $500 to get this going. And that wasn't to be seen of men. That was to stir men. And so the left hand, knowing the right hand does, publicly sometimes people have to know that other people are involved too. And as leaders, what do leaders do? They lead by example. And so a lot of times, there's other platforms going already. But when we first came here, platform was half finished for years. And we wanted to get it done. We didn't have a whole lot of anything to do anything with. So I remember back then, I stepped up. I said, I think it's going to cost $3,000. And whatever I had, a couple hundred, 500 something, I could stood up for the little congregation we had then, not nearly the people we got today. And I said, we've got to get this finished. We've got to do this. We've got to get carpet up here with plywood. And I said, so Mrs. Pastor and I are going to give. And our motive was not to be seen of men. Our motive was to stir men into what they're doing. You see the difference? And so it's wrong to give if I were to get up here and say, you know what, I want to show you how blessed we are. We're the biggest givers of the whole church now. You know how much I gave last year? Well, guess what? My ship's about to sink. What I gave last year is between me and God and the accountants that take care of the books and the IRS, sad to say. So anyway, God wants you to know He wants you blessed to be a blessing. God wants to reward you. There's profit in serving God. And so you just keep on believing. You keep on confessing the promises of God. My God supplies all of my need. God rebukes the devourer for me. I live under the open windows of heaven. I'm blessed to be a blessing. I don't work for a living. I work for a giving. Amen. I give to live. I give to live. Amen. You know, we clapped just a second, but I just want to say it one more time. Get it in your thinking. That chapter, the chapter 9 that Pastor Dave got into, I looked at. Guess who they're saying that he gives seed to the sower. It says it right there. He gives seed to the sower. And so when you get blessed, you always got to be open. Lord, is this seed to sow or is this money to blow? What do I do with this money? Amen, amen. Now you can clap. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, did that help anybody's thinking at all to see how given is in God's eyes? Amen. God looks at your prayers. He looks at your giving. And just know, keep your mouth right. Keep your life right. And there's no way that you can lose in life. You were born again to win. Pastor Dave, go ahead.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and offer prayer to anybody that needs prayer. And we'll have Brother Tom play us some music since Pastor Josh is still doing FPU. I think tonight's the last night though, so, but praise God for that. But if you need prayer for anything tonight, we'd love to be in agreement with you. We've got to have our prayer team up here. And if you don't need prayer, just, worship where you're at for just a minute and then we'll close out here shortly. All right. Go ahead, Brother Tom. Thank you. guys. Well, we're going to go ahead and close out this evening in prayer and do our Barstow Faith Confession. So remember that this Friday is the Good Friday service, 7 p.m. Bring somebody out. Amen. Yeah, it'll probably be on Facebook. Thanks, Mom. All right. Oh, she won't be here. She'll be in New York. So, yeah, we'll put it on Facebook so Mom can watch, all right? And everybody else, amen. Oh, and that does remind me, there will be no PM service, okay? No Sunday PM service next week, all right? All of us that did all the Easter stuff, we're just going to like, oh, I'm going to take a very long nap for about a week, and then you'll see me again. But no PM service, so make sure that you take advantage of the Good Friday service, you know, so you're still able to attend, all right? And then Easter is going to be the big day. So grab some invitations and invite somebody this week. Amen. And do your part to bring in the harvest. Hallelujah. Let's pray and we'll do our Barstow Faith Confession. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for the word that we have received tonight. And God, we know it's true. You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And we understand that we're not just serving you so you'll do stuff for us, but we also recognize that as we do serve you, you did promise that you wanted to do some stuff for us. You wanted to bless us. So help us to be good receivers of that in our lives. And I thank you that this week is going to be a great week. Use us, Lord, to be the light of the world and bring in the harvest for you. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, can someone say amen? Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and do our Barstow Faith Confession. We declare that Barstow is a blessed city. Our families are blessed. Our schools are blessed. Our churches are blessed. Barstow is healed. Barstow is prospering. Barstow is safe. Barstow is strong. Barstow is surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Barstow is full of love, joy, and peace. Barstow is full of the glory of God. Barstow is coming to Jesus. Barstow is saved in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll see you later on this week.